Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk fitness business with gym owners who are in the trenches changing lives in their area. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with my guest, owner of multiple Burn Bootcamp locations in Iowa, Darcy Evans. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I am super excited. Lots of unique things, and we have multi-locations franchisees, so hopefully we can do it justice. Let's jump into it. Give us the overview, how you would describe your gyms, your locations to somebody who wasn't familiar with it.
So I would say the one thing that's really unique about Burn is that a lot of gyms may say that they're for everyone, but Burn truly is. I found Burn as a 36-year-old mom of three who hadn't worked out since I was in my 20s, used to be an athlete, you know, loved sports, and basically was just trying to connect with people that were like me. And I went to Burn and got to admit, when I was walking up the stairs, I was like, I don't think I need friends this badly that I'm going to a boot camp and I'm so out of shape. But when I got there, what was different was there was literally like people that were, you know, 18 years old and they were doing Ironman. And then there were members that were like in their 60s, all different skill levels, all working out together. And the trainer would just make everybody feel seen and valued. Like, I love the fact that Burn celebrates everybody for the body that they have and what they can do. So that's one of the things that are different.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And we'll get into a little bit more, but one of the questions I often ask franchisees is, why did you pick the franchise or the, you know, the brand that you did? Clearly for you, it was, you had the experience and you were sold, and then, you know, the backside made sense. But we'll get into that a little bit more. Before we get specifically into it, though, give us a little bit more background on you as a business owner, what that journey has looked like for you. It's like you said, it snowballed pretty quickly, it sounds like, and you weren't involved in being a small business owner before. So give us a little bit of that background.
Yeah. So like I said, I just had the experience, and all of a sudden, at 36, I had felt like, you know, so many of my opportunities had, the windows had closed, and fitness was one of those. I was like, well, now I'm almost 40, you know, I don't want to start working out. Don't think I can. Found this friend at the gym, and we just got addicted and saw all the lives change around us. And we were talking one day, and she's like, wouldn't it be amazing if this was your job? And I was like, I can't even imagine how great that would be. And when we started talking, we're like, we should do this together. And so we went all the way, and neither one of us had business experience. Neither one of us were gym people or had ever wanted to own a business or a gym. And we just fell in love with Burn specifically. So for me, there was no other option, because people are like, oh, you're a gym owner. I'm like, I'm a Burn Bootcamp owner. Like, that's what I am. Like, that's the product. And so she and I went all the way up to almost signing. And the night before we were going to sign for the locations, her dad had had surgery, was diagnosed with cancer. And she's just like, I can't do this. She's like, I'm so sorry. I can't do this. And I was like, okay, well, it's good, because I'm not going to lie. It was pretty scary thinking we were actually going to do this thing and invest all this time and money and not know what we were doing. So that's fine. So I told my husband, and he's like, you need to do this. He's like, I have seen so many changes in you and everybody that you take in that gym, and this is what you're meant to do. And if you want to do it, then we'll do it together. And so that's how we started on that business journey, with me and my husband as being business partners, which I never wanted to do that either.
Yeah, that can sometimes be tough, but it seems like it's going all right thus far, 4 years later. Now, you both were involved in are to a degree involved in a different aspect of community service that you're still maintaining. So give us a little bit of the background professionally, where you and your husband were when you got into this craziness.
Yeah, so I'm actually a nurse at University Hospital in Madison. I work in the emergency department, and my husband was a police officer for University Police. And that's how we met, was in the emergency room. So I got punched by a patient and he took the report. Love at first sight. So yeah, so that's our community service and kind of our normal lives. When we went from one gym to two gyms, it just got to be too much because we also have three kids, a 14, now 14, 11, and 9. So they were much younger then. So he stepped away from being a police officer because I'm incredibly passionate about nursing. And that's kind of one of the things that drew me into being an owner of a burn boot camp, because I love the prevention aspect. But he, yeah, stepped away from full-time police. He does a little bit of per diem here and there. And I am still working in the emergency department as a charge nurse. So.
And then on top of that, you mentioned, you're a nurse at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, which is 4.5 hours away from where your gyms are. So how the heck did that happen? Because you didn't just throw a dart at the map and say, boom, that's where we're going. Was it franchise availability? Do you have some kind of tie to Des Moines? How did that happen?
A little bit of all of it. So Madison is in Dane County, and there's one owner that owns all the locations in Dane County. She like owns the county. And for boutique fitness, you know, there's not really, you know, you have to hit certain criteria to know that you're going to be successful. And so there wasn't anything close by. So if I wanted to have my own burn, I would have to go someplace. And Des Moines is where my husband grew up, and he has family here. And since our kids were little, we're like, we got grandma and grandpa to help us out, lots of support. And yeah, that's kind of how, why Des Moines. And, you know, I love the hospital. I love my job. I love my neighbors and all those things. When we started, it was like, well, maybe we'll move. And now we're, you know, 4.5 years later, and we're not moving. So we just make it work.
So you weren't going to take over Manitowoc County in Wisconsin. That wasn't going to be it. So you wanted a demographic area, somewhere there was potential, wasn't saturated, had ties to Des Moines. So it made sense. And it's a doable commute. Not, you know, you can, if you had to, you can pick up and drive one way or the other, basically anytime you want. A little bit of caffeine, maybe, depending on what time of day it is. But 4.5 hours is not the end of the world. That's what people in New York and Boston call their daily commute.
Yeah.
So. yeah. Okay. So you've gone through the iterations of that. Was the main thing that kept you from moving out to Des Moines your attachment to your specific hospital where you worked? Was that kind of the main tie that's kept you there?
It's been like, that's where my family is from. And we have kind of like our forever house. We have acreage. Mm-hmm. And we just have like a great church community, great friends. And they've been super supportive and helpful all the way down to when we opened up our second location in Ankeny. We had some friends from church that were in the process of buying a house, and to make sure that we could really focus on the gyms, they moved in with us and helped take care of the kids. So both my husband and I could spend a ton of time down here because our kids are friends. So for that summer, they really did so much for us.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you've basically got two families.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, in two locations. So I can see that being, you know, being a big draw. Being that this is your first foray into gym ownership or business ownership at all, you realize that being a remote owner can be tough. There's a lot that can go wrong with it. We talked a little bit off the air. You make a really, really concerted effort to not make it feel like that to your clients. What are some of the pitfalls that you see that could have happened, and what are the ways that you try to make it as doable as possible, you know, with this situation where wanting to be hands-on, but also being remote?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest struggles for me personally, because I didn't open this gym because I was like, looked at it as like a business opportunity. I truly did look at it as a way to change lives and impact, you know, all these people that just really in society need fitness. and try to help prevent some of these things that I see in the emergency department all the time, right? Like you come into the emergency department and you're having a heart attack and you're 150 pounds overweight. Like there's these things where it's like, I can only do so much for you in the emergency department. So I love the connection and the attachment and, you know, just by my nature, being a nurse, being like a very emotional person, I get very attached to members. And so what's hard for me is one, it's definitely that line that I'm friendly, but I can't be your friend like that. You know, like I'll have members that message me, they're my Facebook friends. They message me, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or things like that. And it was fine with one gym, but now you're talking 400 people. And then you feel bad because you can only split yourself. And I can only imagine with the third location, I have to split myself three ways now. Also it's super important to me that people know that they like know my heart. So when I have to make hard decisions, when, you know, things happen, they know that I truly care about them. So I need to be physically present and building those relationships. So like with COVID, I think we did really well because they trusted me that they felt safe coming to the gym because I was pulling my nursing experience, talking to them, being very upfront, very honest, pulled that in. So in that kind of aspect, it's done well for me to keep the remote ownership, keep my job at the hospital and that nursing background. But it's always the biggest compliment to me when I tell somebody I'm going home to work and they're just like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, well, back to Madison. They're like, you don't live here? And I'm like, I take a lot of pride in that they see me so often that they think I'm local.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, you could definitely get spread thin pretty easily, but it sounds like either you've had to or you're thinking about how you're going to have to adjust your boundaries as far as communication with members. Have you had to take any physical steps with the relationships that were already there to put boundaries on it? Is it just something where you're like, well, hey, I'm not going to go that deep into, you know, being social media friends with people on my personal accounts? Like how have you worked through that? And what does that look like for you as you expand? I mean, we haven't even talked yet. I don't know. Maybe you're not going to stop at three locations. It could be 10. So how are you scaling your boundaries?
That is always a work in progress. Because I also now, starting this year, have gotten into training. So I had trainer turnover and it was like, well, I got my certification, you know, just in case like something falls apart. I want to be able to train camps and not have to close the gym. Somebody gets COVID, you know, like that was important to me. And then I had multiple full-time trainers leave. And so then it was like, well, crap, I'm going to have to train. So, it was probably one of the best things that happened to me being forced into it. Cause I am an introvert. And so then, getting up and leading camps and having members respond so well, sitting down, doing focus meetings, talking to them, building those things. It's hard for me not to be friends with them on social media, or it's because it's just the easiest way that if I'm like going to check in with them and make sure that I'm following up with them, while I'm not running camps, social media is just easy. So it's a work in progress and I have not figured out how to do the boundaries very well, I would say.
Okay. But you're aware of it, right? Awareness. I'm aware. What do they say? Admitting you have a problem is the first step. Yeah. So it's a problem and we're audio only, but I say that with air quotes because it's one of those things where it's great to have the relationships and that's a lot of, I mean, hey, getting paid well for doing this is great, but a lot of the reward is in the excited, happy texts, the, you know, I just fit into clothes I never did before, or I was running around with my kids, or, you know, the in-person stuff, the high fives and the fist bumps and the hugs and the tears. But as you scale, there's only so much of you, and, you know, attention is the only thing that doesn't scale. So it can be really tough there. So
I've never heard that, but yeah.
I don't think I made it up. I'm sure I stole it from one of our smarter than me guests, but it really doesn't, unfortunately. Or, you know, I guess one-on-one attention doesn't scale. And outside of that, I don't think it's really attention, but I don't want to get soapboxy. So you mentioned that you've had some staff turnover, and that's kind of, you've had to go and grab the bull by the horns there. And even with some set, you know, like a lot of us, you've got full-time and part-time staff, but with the full-time staff, what have you found that there's been specific things that have led them away? Has it been like they go to another fitness model, or they're evolving in life, or you were maybe just a stop on the way? What do you feel like contributes to that full-time turnover, if you could attribute it to anything?
I would say, like, historically, how we built our model contributed to the turnover. The head trainer model was a lot. You know, it was a salaried position. You're expected to do social media. You're the manager. You do all of these things. And it was a lot. We realized that pretty quickly that it's not sustainable. And so we really want our employees to have a work-life balance. And we really push that a lot. And we built in more supports. So really recently, it's been like life situations that one person moved because they moved to Iowa for a relationship that ended and they wanted to travel. So they moved. Another person has kind of their own fitness brand that he wants to develop and had a baby, got married, you know, opening up the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning and being there till 8 doesn't really fit that lifestyle. So it's been a lot of that, really. But overall, we have just been blessed with some pretty amazing staff that most of the staff like falls in love with Burn and then as a member, and then they become an employee and part of the team.
So primarily, those are like the best people. Mostly been homegrown talent?
A lot of it. Yeah, a lot of it.
So that's something that the fitness business, especially micro gym models where, you know, it's a coaching business and not your 24/7 open access gym, like mm-hmm. what we do, the coaching model. We want to give people opportunities, and creating these great full-time positions for the right people can be great, but it's really hard because it's always ends up being this combination. Like you said, you're a head coach, you're doing programming, you're doing scheduling, you're doing social media. And generally speaking, those interests and skill sets don't necessarily overlap. So a lot of times we're trying to patchwork together a full-time position because we have someone who we really love and we want to make it work for them. So you're not the first and certainly won't be the last person to go through these trials and tribulations. And the person who can do that job is a unicorn, but not a lot of them exist. So have you gone to a more splintered model from there where it's, some full-time coaches, but the responsibility is more towards people who want it, who excel at it? Like, how have you changed that model out?
Yeah. I mean, we've really, it takes a long time getting comfortable asking yourself the question, do I have the right people in the right seats? And this is what I need, and this is what they have to fit. And I like the person, but I can't change what I need to keep them or to make them happy. And so I think that transition has been hard. I think we have built in a lot of supports where it's like, okay, like this morning we had a discussion with the gym manager in Ankeny, and it was like, okay, our social media needs work. It really needs work, and it's her responsibility. I'm like, I'm going to be honest, like your social media is not great because you don't do social media. It's not an interest. So you're not good at it. And I'm guessing that you would rather do a lot of other things and you dread doing it. And that's why it doesn't get done, or, you know, it turns out poorly. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, then delegate it. Like, you have a trainer. She loves social media and she wants more hours. So like giving our management like permission to pull people's skill sets and their interests makes everybody happier.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have, your husband is working full time on the business. Is he a manager at either of the locations, or is he kind of behind like a CEO, a COO, CEO role? How do you have that split up? And does only one of the locations have a manager? Like, what's your org chart look like?
Yeah, so our org chart is like, and it's interesting because we use the culture index for our employees just to kind of get a feel for their gaps. Are they a right fit? But I am very much like the visionary, and I suck at execution. Big ideas, all the ideas, all the momentum. And then he is very much the person that he's like, we got to deal with what's in front of us. And he's my processes. He does all the IT, all that type of stuff. So he is that the person who executes, I should say. Each gym has a gym manager. Currently, we don't have a lead trainer because we have a bunch of new staff, and I'm really waiting for the person that's going to be a good fit for that, that really wants it, to kind of show up. And then we'll move to a lead trainer that will do scheduling, make sure programming is on brand and all those things. And then we have like a full-time morning brand ambassador, front desk person. And then we have a smattering of fill-in people.
Got it. With the head trainer role, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're mainly avoiding filling the position just for the sake of filling it and trying to square peg round hole. It's more like, hey, I'll shoulder the load of whatever needs to be done in that role or delegate it in pieces rather than not have the right person in there when the time comes.
Yeah, definitely. Because we've done that before where we've created roles for people, or we've put people in a role where we're like, we're just going to try it. Like, we're going to give them an opportunity. A lot of my trainers are new just this year, so they're only 6 months into it. And I don't want to put somebody in a leadership position, find it doesn't work, and then pull them back out of it. I would rather take it and I would figure out how to complete what needs to be done myself between other leaders in our organization, and then wait for people to demonstrate consistency and the ability to function at that level and to want it. Whereas like my husband always says, do they get it? Do they want it? And do they have the capacity? Like those three things. Because a lot of people want it, but they don't get it really. And they really don't have the capacity.
Oh yeah. I agree 100,000%. So last question on this head trainer thing, will that head trainer be overseeing all three locations, or do you think you'll eventually see yourself having one for each?
I would like to have one for each so that they can really partner with that manager. I see the gym manager partnering with the lead trainer, and then this is their gym. So, you know, they're responsible for growth, for attrition, for all of those things. If we get big enough with trainers, as we grow and we add camps and add trainers, I'd love to have somebody who's just a strict training manager that handles education and all trainer specific things, but we're not there yet.
Yeah. I love that. Yet. So I want to kind of round out here with a couple of questions that are specific to Bern and your multi-location here. I know why you started with Bern, right? It was the experience that, you know, you fell in love with it on the client side really first, and then the back end. It's like a lot of things. Like, you wouldn't have gone from one to two and two to three if the franchise wasn't great to work with. So what are the biggest standout things for you as a Bern franchisee that make you want to keep expanding there and not outside of the Berniverse? I just made that up.
Yeah. I genuinely love the people at headquarters. Like, they're just good people. I think they really care about what they're doing. They care about you. Since we've been in it so long, we're kind of like old owners, right? And, you know, there's something like, you walk in and everybody knows who you are. You know, they'll send you notes. Like, I had one of the business coaches, Nicole, for Nurses Week, sent me a gift card from Starbucks. She's like, just wanted you to know you're my favorite nurse. I mean, just like stuff like that. And to know that when I have questions or I have problems, like, I have their cell phone numbers. I call. I had some pretty big issues and I had them jumping on calls immediately off hours to help me through it, to figure out how to navigate it. And I love the fact that, I mean, I love it so much that I applied to be on their franchise advisory council. So I got elected to that this year. So I'm pretty pumped.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah, because it's great to have like a forum where headquarters listens to you, to what your problems are, and you can be part of a solution rather than complaining, right? So it's going to be exciting. I start that next month.
Some people see it that way anyway, right? We do know there are some people that like the complaining side of things. Okay, so the next part of that is going to be, you love it so much, you're applied for advisory council. There's a lot going on there. And you said, we're talking about locations. It sounds to me like you're not planning to stop at three. So is there a long-term vision of 10 locations? Is it, we'll spread this to as many people as we can till there isn't time in the day? Is it to be determined?
Yeah, to be determined for sure. I would love to have a location closer to home. There's like a location that I had thought about that's about an hour from my house that I could probably, I mean, it'd be great to be able to get up in the morning, go to a location, come home. I've talked to the franchise about other locations, but it's one of those things where right now, like, I think we're hitting max capacity going into a freshman in high school, a junior high girl. And so that's the thing that really dictates it, right? Because it's the one thing I
own you.
Yeah, that would be great. The one thing I really underestimated was the impact it would have on my family, like my kids. And then also the impact on my marriage. Like, that's something that I wasn't really prepared for, because once you do this business together, our boundaries are really bad. You know, he's full-time burn, I'm burn and the ER. So I'll come home from work and he'll just want to be like, okay, so here's what's going on. And there's this on my body and, spewing all the burn stuff. And I'm just like, whoa, I just had like a really stressful day at work and I just want to decompress. So trying to figure out those boundaries and your roles and responsibilities when you're both type A, because I'm a charge nurse of a level one trauma center. He's a police officer. You're used to like being in control. This is your lane, directing, and then working with your spouse just brings a whole new level of complexity into having a business partner, I think.
So do you think that, and I know this is kind of this is tough to tell at this point, and the magic wand question, if you were to continue to grow and expand into more camps, do you think you would need a next level person, like somebody who reported maybe just directly to you and your husband and then filtered out through the chain? Do you think that's the best way for you to manage expansion, stay married, be a good mom, be able to, do all those other things that you want to do, but still be able to touch more lives and spread more of the burn, I guess, spread the burn, right?
Yeah. I think it's the thing that is so hard is when you start a business, you pour, like nobody, my husband said, Darcy, nobody's ever going to love burn like you. He's like, not even me, because you have a different connection to it. And when you start a business, it's you're everything. You're the janitor. You're doing all of the things, and it's hard to let those things go. And so we, like, some of our conversation, my husband and I, is revolves around like, is this really the best use of your time? And so we're trying to get that stuff out because we're constantly working in the business and we're not able to work on the business. And so with our gym managers, that's kind of what we started to do is like, okay, here is this Jessica and Rachel, like, they're amazing. You got a problem, you need to go to them first. Don't come right to me, like, go to them, and kind of retraining the staff and getting them to trust that, we trust these people. We trust these people to make hard decisions and support them. And just having them in the gyms and doing that has been really helpful. But yeah, definitely growing more. I think kind of that like district manager would be helpful.
Yeah, scaling is so much more about growing the team and trusting the team, which really ultimately means trusting yourself and the skill set that, you know, where you are in your journey. But it really becomes a huge lesson in like what got you here isn't what's going to get you to that next level, especially as you get into those multiple locations. And, you know, it's one thing if you're, and I'm not trying to make it seem like it's easy if you're 25 years old and single and can, you know, spread yourself really thin and you only have one job. Like, you're not sitting here making excuses. You're just saying, this is my reality. I'm going to make it happen. I just need to fit it into what I'm doing and not wrap my life around it. It's going to be vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty important life lesson in general, I would say. We are just about out of time and I don't want to keep you, but before I let you go, where can people find you? Do you maintain your specific social media for the different locations? Is there an overarching, where can people find out, see what you're doing, what you're building out there in Iowa and beyond?
Yeah. We're on Facebook, Instagram. And I'm a little bit biased. Rachel, my manager, and Clive has amazing social media. Like, she, you want to see some funny reels and some really good content, check her out and what she's doing. Burn Bootcamp Clive. And then basically just go to burnbootcamp.com and you can find all the locations and find us there.
All right. We're going to give a shout out and get some likes and shares with Burn Bootcamp Clive. If that's the superstar of the franchise right now, I'm sure everybody else is doing their best. And new location opening in a couple months, fingers crossed. And then we'll keep on the lookout and see what else you got cooking. Maybe get you back on here in a year or so and see where things are.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, Darcy, it's been a pleasure having you. I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to be with us. I wish you continued success. And again, thank you just so much for coming on and sharing what your experience has been so far.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
You're welcome. And to everyone out there listening, as always, we appreciate you. We know we wouldn't be here without you. We hope you found value and inspiration and some education in this episode. Talked a lot, you know, the multi-franchise game. And maybe someone out there is looking. Burn Bootcamp is growing fast. We have a lot of happy owners that we talk to, so maybe worth looking into. We're publishing episodes every day. If you want to hear more, hit the subscribe button. We'll notify you when they drop. To everyone out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard. Keep changing lives. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is JJ Hernandez. And joining us on the show today is a very special guest. It is the one and only Isaac Stock with Germantown F45. What is going on, Isaac? How are you doing today? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well, JJ. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. We're excited to have you on. And before we dive into the nitty gritty of what you have going on with F45 Training Germantown, you know, first, why don't you kind of tell us how you describe the business to people, right? If you were to have me or someone else come in and be like, hey, you know, what do you guys do here? What give me a little rundown, a 30-second elevator pitch of what you would say F45 Training Germantown is like.
Sure. So F45 Training Germantown is a functional training group fitness facility, boutique fitness, if you will, where that uses a variety of weightlifting, cardio equipment to build strength, coordination, endurance. Each day is a new workout. And the goal is for it to be a fun training environment. So we like to say hashtag team training, life changing.
I like that. I love the culture and the community that's built around F45. I think they do a really good job of doing that, especially obviously like thanks to you as ownership, right? I mean, you guys are the reason for that community and whatnot. But also just correlating fun and fitness. I think that kind of goes, you know, under the rug sometimes, right? If you can enjoy fitness as much as you enjoy watching Game of Thrones, I think you kind of crack the code, you know, and doing that for folks who don't really work out too predominantly, but F45 brings that welcoming feel. I think you guys are great at that. So that's awesome stuff there, Isaac. And so we'll dive right into the business here. We'll start with the bare bones basics. How many members are you serving currently?
I hope he doesn't ask this question. So you got me right off the bat. So currently we are, depending on how you cut it, including our influencers and our coaching staff, which we encourage them and appreciate that they are also part of the community that works out at the gym, not just works at the gym. We're at about 151 members.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, is that a number where you guys are close to capacity? Is there a much higher number you guys are trying to reach? What does that look like for you guys?
That is part of the cool thing. I'm not biased at all towards the F45 model, of course, being a franchisee. We have room to grow. At the same time, I am happy and proud of our progress.
Yeah.
So just to give a little context here, my situation, I hope it's okay that I say this. It was
totally,
it was similar to a gym. You know, they have the show Restaurant or Bar Rescue. Mine was kind of like a gym rescue situation.
Gotcha.
So while I was not on the ground level of the build out, and I'm very close with the former owners. They're still members at the gym. So that was a good sign that they weren't like, hey, let's sell this place and get the heck out of town. So when I took over the gym a little over a year and a half ago, we were hovering at just under 100 members. And just to give you an idea, about 140 is where, okay, cool, we can get all of our bills paid and keep the lights on. So it's taken time, and that's, I'm not saying that I'm an impatient person, but this has helped train me and continues to train me to just keep my eyes on the big picture. So this slow, steady growth is something that I'm learning to value, really. So if it's, you know, for every, you know, member that we sign up, I'm realizing how important it is to keep, you know, our member retention, or keep our members happy that we do have. So that's where that whole sense of community, and say probably putting 75% of focus into retention, as opposed to, okay, cool, we got them signed up, now, you know, on to the next one mentality. So, and this is what I do. I don't even remember the initial question. Just want to give you some context. So we are growing, and we have room to continue to grow. Yes, for sure. Yeah,
I love that. And so, you know, with the members you're at currently, what's been the best practices or best methods to get those folks through the door, right? What's the best method to get new people through the door?
Sure. So visibility. So many people in, they call it the Mid-South area, the greater Memphis area, it's Tennessee and parts of Mississippi and Arkansas. Health and fitness are not in the top 10 or even probably top 25 of areas of, you know, overall focus. I like to say that Memphis is a little behind the times. So for us to even have an F45, which I consider a very progressive style of workout, you know, you've got the screens in front of you showing you the workouts, you've got the coaches guiding you throughout the room, and just the level of programming they provide. Really, just to even have this in the area, it's so new. So to answer your question, letting people know who we are, and that does feel good to know that we have a product, and I do feel confident about the coaching, the product that we're putting out there now. Once we get people to the gym, we have a very high success rate of them wanting to stay.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that feels good.
Go ahead, Isaac. Sorry.
No, you're good. So all that to say, just different methods to give you a prime example, even though F45 corporate or HQ, they suggest that we offer a 7-day free trial or 2 weeks for free. I had the idea of, well, I was noticing that hundreds of people would sign up for this free trial, and a very low percentage, about 3% of those free trialers, would actually show up even for their first class. So the free trial was not getting people in the door because there was no timeline on it, and they had no skin in the game, so to speak. So only at the beginning of this year, so we're just over 6 months, right? We're in our 7th month of doing what I call, it's a 10 days for $10 experience. So instead of calling it a free trial, you know, you're having the experience with us. That 10 days for $10, just that little bit of extra, the $10 sign up and them having some, you know, a little more incentive to show up, has helped.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandably so. Go ahead. Sorry.
And on both sides, no, while yes, we are a business, and it's like, yes, we're getting $10. I didn't buy this gym. I mean, it might sound dumb. I hope my financial advisor doesn't listen to this podcast. But you know, I didn't buy this gym for financial profitability. It's profitability. Excuse me. Not saying that it is not that, but it is, especially in this area, it's so new, and boutique fitness is such a niche market that people are just realizing the value of this, as opposed to your 24-hour fitness or one that's more local around-the-clock fitness, where you know they're thinking, the logic is, why would I pay $200 a month for F45 and I have to go there at a specific class time, whereas I could pay $13 a month and go to this gym where I can go wherever I want.
Yeah.
So all that to say, just bringing awareness to the area.
Yeah. And that's great. And I think I want to touch on one of the things that you mentioned with the free trial, and mm-hmm. not to throw fuel to the fire, but I think I want to agree with you in a sense where nobody values free, and that's the honest truth, right? So, and when people say that they offer like a free consultation, I always ask like, why? You know, we go to a new bowling alley, a new restaurant, whatever it may be, for the first time. It's not like you can just walk, oh, cool, I'll come back and I'll pay the second time. That's never the case. So it's only in the fitness industry that you can get that experience, and mm-hmm. where it is genuinely free, right? And how many times we hear, oh, nothing's free in life, but realistically, I mean, hey, you can go to a free consultation or a free day at Planet Fitness or any other gym you want to go to. But I think when they can see a little more, even if it's $10, right, but see a little more value in what you're doing and get the full experience, or again, how you word it, I think that's awesome, right? They feel like they're getting the better end of the stick, which is very true. They are, you know? And so great mentality there, great approach there. And so besides visibility here though, right, I kind of want to ask, is there any other unorthodox methods, or even more common, like for example, unorthodox being like flyers or, you know, that guerrilla marketing styles that are kind of outdated, or even more common in such like digital marketing, social media? Has any of those approaches yielded any good results as well?
Oh yeah. And I can appreciate that I took almost my first year. So from April 2021 until through this April, to really just see what, you know, I wanted to keep the team as intact as possible and just see how we were operating before I started to ramp up our marketing efforts. So yes, we actually work with a local company called NLA Projects. We'll give them a shout out. They're also members at the gym. Now, they are videographers. So they came in and filmed some of our actual students clients, students. I'm still also out teach yoga on the side. So I'm still, everybody is a student to me. So I think the fact that we have our actual members in our videos and pictures that we're posting online and on our Google business profile, while we're only, you know, I don't want to jinx it because we're only a couple months in. However, we are seeing a tremendous uptick in people showing up. So while they're learning about us, and then there's a huge, tremendous gap between, okay, people knowing about us and then actually getting foot in the door.
Yeah.
But I will say the social media, having that, you know, that digital, that online footprint is, in my experience, critical. Yeah, so also keeping a certain cadence, and then, you know, each of us only has a certain amount of total bandwidth, right? Or time and energy. And so just it's taken us time to really get to that healthy cadence to where, okay, we don't need to post three times a day. We don't want people to unfollow us, right? We want them to keep seeing us. But also just showing people that, and this is something I didn't mention in my elevator pitch, so I give myself not an F, but like a D on this, but we are approachable for all levels. And especially for people that have no idea who we are, or they just see Mark Wahlberg, who is an investor in F45 Corporate, they just see these, you know, professional athletes working out. Well, that can be extremely daunting to someone who is, you know, just getting back into fitness or, you know, coming back from an injury. So I think making ourselves, showing that we are the same and that we are relatable, I would say relatability factor has been huge so far.
Yeah, no, I think that's such a big component. I mean, there is plenty of things that you mentioned in that whole entire pitch right there where I think it's all notable. I can't even highlight one because I mean, there was so much, but I think just to... to really have that genuine care, right? Because I mean, I always say, you know, that if you're in it for the right reasons, right? I know you said initially, right, you're not in it for profit, but in due time, when you show that you care more than the next person as a gym owner, the profit will always come. You know, it's like getting to that point, and then after that, the rest will come. And I mean that. And so, and we've experienced it firsthand, right? I mean, when I ran my own gym, I know for a fact, right? It was at a point where it's like you're almost like, oh man, like are we gonna even break even this month? But then to get to the point where, you know, you're like, okay, cool, like retention's amping up, like, you know, and then you're kind of compounding the referrals, you're compounding the marketing, you're compounding all these things, because it's a lot of trial and error. But once you figure out the method and the routine, you have it down packed. So that's awesome. And I love just like highlighting those. It's those little things that carry a lot of weight, you know? So that's great stuff there, Isaac. And so, you know, I correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you're pretty data driven here. And so how do you manage tracking these metrics, right? So retention, sure. LTV, churn rate, how do you go about tracking that stuff?
Well, thankfully we have I might be one of the only people who's ever praised Mind Body Online. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. If you're in the fitness industry, or most of y'all listening are probably cursing the name right now, just kidding. But no, they actually make it fairly easy to, or how about this? They make it possible. I shouldn't say it's easy to run reports. And so this is something that my team and I, we call it team huddles. So I have a leadership team. I kind of worked backwards in my story. I didn't explain to the listeners at home that I actually run this gym remotely. So while my gym is in the suburbs of Memphis, Tennessee in Germantown, I actually live predominantly and actually train at an F45 franchise in Irvine, California. Actually, I live in Costa Mesa, California, in Orange County. So it's very unique perspective. And I had to learn early on not to try to compare the two studios. But it's been so cool to learn from the owners of F45 Irvine Business Complex, or IBC, through directly asking them and through just watching as a member myself. I'm an ambassador for them. I've learned so many things, and I still have so much to learn, but I think I've gotten a really great impression of what does work with this model. I've also learned how much the market and demographic of where someone is located is completely right, can be make or break. So just coming to terms with, you know what, my community, you know, our age range, even our average age at F45 in Germantown is, you know, early to mid 30s, while at F45 in Irvine, it's probably about 10 years younger. So just realizing different people, different scope, and that we have different needs. And so that's where I've had to zoom out a little bit and realize, you know, don't try to just force, what is it, the square peg in the circular hole kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And to really just being open, listening. We're very open to feedback. We have changed and modified the schedule many times, and it is almost always a direct response to having asked our clients. Well, sometimes they give oftentimes they give unsolicited feedback. Let's be honest here. But that's why we're here. It's for our people.
It's true. It's true.
So that's been a big part of it. Going back to how do we track these things? So for retention, and like I said, we put a huge emphasis on our client success, customer appreciation, just running the reports, being in constant communication with my team. Actually, my general manager, who's 3 months in, but I want to give him a shout out, Mr. Bentley Black. He is a superstar, and I am very thankful for him. He and our director of personnel, Coach Tyler Park, who has been on the team since I was visiting before I was an owner. The three of us are in constant contact, and actually every day they send to me a daily wrap up. So class attendance, notes, people that are on their 10-day experience, and just really without that, or before that, I didn't feel as connected. So just staying on top of it. And it's not all about numbers or sales, because most of these people that are members, you know, they're paying for an unlimited membership. Like, we could just say, okay, they're good, let's focus on getting more people in. But really just taking the time to make sure that our people who are here are having the best experience.
Yeah. Yeah, completely, completely. And that's such a major component as well, right? I think it's common to, as gym owners, right? You kind of use other gyms to scope how well it isn't doing. And I think when you can kind of remove that, just like with anything, just in life, right? You don't want to use somebody else's experience. They could be on level 100 and you can be on level 1, or they can be on level 50 and you can be on level 200 and be taking steps backwards even. So great points there. Great points there, Isaac. And so, you know, here's going to be a little bit of a longer-winded question, but a good question in itself. I'm kind of curious to see your answer here. So we've been discussing this entire time, I've been the pillars of business, right? And in the fitness and gym industry, there's about three that we use pretty predominantly. That's going to be your lead generation, which is your marketing, your client acquisition, which is your sales, and then your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So of those three, Isaac, where do you feel like you could improve the most?
The sales. There's no mystery, or there's minimal mystery, if you will. So I feel good about that. I'm one of those people that I will be relentless and just cannot stand unsolved mysteries, or right, those kind of things. Which in the gym business, I've learned quickly that there could be a limitless amount of time that I could spend on, right, improving and just constantly overthinking. But what I've learned is, or I'm learning, it's got to be the right time. So people are going to come in like, yes, we want to make them, hold them accountable and let them know that we're here for them, but also just being patient. And I know I already am going back a little bit, but what it is, we've almost been, I think, not pushy enough in our sales approach. If I'm being completely honest, we're so right. And that's something I'm, you know, it's calling people as opposed to, you know, my team says, well, you know, calling people nowadays is, you know, people only call if it's an emergency, right? We're living in a day and age where most people, you know, if you call, they're like, oh my gosh, what's wrong? You know, we text and email and all that nowadays. And I think just also, you know, people come in for a trial and they get an unlimited amount of classes for 10 days. So if you take class every day, you're really getting a $250 value, right? Based on if you were paying for drop-ins every day. And then oftentimes, if we don't reach out to them, they just continue on. And it might not be, they might actually, oftentimes they want to come back, but it's just one of those things where it's like, they don't have the accountability. So I think doing more, it's tough. It's a constant ebb and flow. It's a fine line where we, of course, I don't want to be pushy. And like I said, I'm not in it to be like a car salesman person. I bought this gym because of my passion for health and fitness, and because the greater Memphis area is consistently in the top 10. My whole life, it's been in the top 10 in terms of percentage of those who are unhealthy, right? Overweight or obese. And so just having the offering is a huge thing, I think. But also, we are a business, and the classes are, everyone's more energized when the classes are bigger, right? This isn't your personal training. You know, this isn't for people that are looking for just one-to-one. Don't get me wrong. You get personalized training, and our coaches are there for you. And we encourage our members to reach out to our coaches about their goals. You know, if they have any injuries, modifications, nutrition, all of those things. All that to say, the sales process, right? We've got to let people know in many ways, and I know this is a thing, you know, I'm charging half the price of a membership from what F45HQ recommends. And so in many ways, it's a fine line where, yes, I want to, my pops used to say, show the love. I want to show the love to our clients, but also I'm gradually having to get to where we also can keep, like I said, keep the ship afloat. You can tell my analogies are awful. I have my days when they're on. Today we're not quite there. But
no, it's not at all. Come on.
But all that to say, we don't want to dilute the product.
Yeah. And so 100%.
And so if we're getting specific, you walk in the door, you're on your 10-day trial, and you decide you want to sign up with us. An unlimited membership with no commitment, by the way. So we're very different than almost every other corporate group fitness gym, especially in the area. It's $199. And if you sign up during your 10-day trial experience or at the end of it, so we're pretty much just giving you that because that's how almost every single person is going to sign up, then you also get half off of your first month. Now, the challenge with that, I'm pretty sure this stat is accurate as of the past couple of years. Do you know what the average in the US, the average gym membership life expectancy is?
Ooh.
I got a question for you.
I'll take a guess, and I would say 11 months.
I wish. JJ, like that would be a dream. The average, the average is 3 months.
Three.
Jeez. And I didn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it. But I'm seeing it to be true. So if we're already giving people half off their first month, and the hope is that we're disproving that average, right? Because our product is better, and because we have the community, all that to say, stats are stats, and I don't want to ignore, even though I do plan for us to outperform that average, I also don't want to neglect facts. So circling back to your initial question, just the sales process, just making sure that we are at least doing everything we can to give people the information, know that we want them there, and then put the ball in their court.
Yeah. And I think this is one thing that I've learned when I ran my gym. And it's there's a lot of factors that go into sales, right? Number one being conviction, right? And I think nobody believes in the gym more than yourself. I'm a firm believer in that. Even if you have one of the best salespeople, managers, all this stuff. I mean, the best sense of other people who believe in the gym more than you do. And that's a very rare case. But again, even if you have people who kind of believe in it, conviction is a big component, right? Mm-hmm. And then also kind of changing the mindset of, you know, because you're not a car salesperson, not at all. And you're not supposed to treat it that way, right? Some people try to hard sell oftentimes, but I do truly believe that if we look at it in a sense where if I don't help this person, I'm doing them a disservice. That is when I shifted my mindset about sales completely. And I was able to be like, wow, like, you know what? Like this is a total 360. Like I should be looking at this. I'm trying to help this person, not trying to take money from them. Cause at the end of the day, any business, it costs money to perform. Right. And it's like,
right,
no matter what, we're going to get you here. And we're going to get you the results and believe that we're going to get you there and know that we're going to get you there the best way possible. And it's about selling the belief to them, but it's always, I would say gym sales is the hardest sales. Cause you got to sell the belief in them that they don't have in themselves just yet. But again, once you figure out the algorithm there and you're converting on 50, 60% of your leads at that point, I mean, it's just kind of a walk in the park, you know? But needless to say that I love that you're emphasizing that that is an important factor, right? Regardless of success, that, you know, you can still improve. And I appreciate that. The viewers appreciate that. I think it's an eye opener because, you know, anybody with over 100 gym members, it's like, whoa, okay, like this guy's doing it. And I think people see that, you know, even if you're at, you know, 100 plus, it's there's still room to improve. And I think it's eye opener for a lot of people, you know? So thank you for that. And last two questions for you here, Isaac, my two favorite questions. Number one being the, what's the bigger picture? What are you trying to accomplish long-term?
And long-term, I already touched on it. It's really just being a part of this. I've got to give credit to where it's due to other gym owners and enthusiasts in the Mid-South or the greater Memphis area. Really, just as much as we might be behind the times in other areas, our fitness community is growing. And so just getting Memphis to have that type of recognition, right? Like Memphis, the demographic and topography of the layout of the city, and really just affordability wise, you know, we're not in Austin, Texas, or a Portland or anything like that. But I'm seeing that we do have the pulse in the fitness industry. And actually, myself and our coach Tyler Park, who I already referenced earlier, we just recently got featured in Memphis Health and Fitness magazine. And not to just toot our horn, but just seeing in that magazine how many other, you know, there's bike spin studios opening up now in Memphis, and that's a new thing. There's a climb VersaClimber studio. We actually have a run club based out of our F45 training, which that to me, when you say what is your goal, the fact that we put the feelers out there and had 50 something members, I was like, oh, this is okay. Let's give the people what they want.
That's awesome.
So all that to say, my goal would be to continue on this trajectory to where instead of having just, you know, for every member that we get or for every two that we sign up, we have two leave. And of course, there's going to be people, we've lost some of our best members who have moved because of jobs and work and all that, but we want to minimize attrition, not just financially, but because this is truly a community that I love, right? Yeah. And so, like, I don't get paid anything to say that, right? So I want to continue to have this, and I want it to be a safe haven. So many, many people, you know, come in and we have no idea what anyone's been dealing with outside of those walls. But when they come into the studio, a goal of mine, you know, I hope that we're there, but my hope would be that we are able to provide a safe space, almost like a temple or a sanctuary, if you will. Because for most of us, or for many people, this is the one, well, hour, really, it's only 45 minutes. It's the F45. It's the only four, but we got showers, right? You shower and stretch and all that. It's probably an hour. But hey, 45 minutes, you're in and out. This could be the only time of their day that they are not in that fight or flight, you know, either dealing with emails or family members or dogs or really just anything, and especially with the condition of the world right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people had, a lot of people who even had healthy fitness levels prior to the times, I like to call it, from a couple of years back, just really just inviting. So continue to be approachable, inviting, let people know we're here. No spoilers, but I would be open to opening another location in the Memphis area.
Okay.
Just saying that.
No spoilers.
Just saying, hey, just, you know, but putting that out there, manifest it. Yeah, and just continuing to be just part of this movement, right? And just being a piece of it and just knowing that we're doing our part.
Yeah. 100%, 1,000,000%. I mean, that's awesome. I think building that community and emphasizing the people of your gym, you're in it for the right reasons. And I'll tell you that, Isaac, you're in it for the right reasons. And then only good can come from that. You know, people are too profit driven, where they remove that sense of community. And at that point, unsustainable, you know.
And there's a lot of successful podcasters out there. I want to give a shout out to Gym Lords podcast. It's because I've been catching up on a lot of y'all's episodes recently, and I appreciate how authentic y'all are. That's why I did feel like I could get on here and actually just keep it real. There's a lot of successful gym podcasts out there that are just hunkering down on the sales. Cool, right? Let them be rich. But what, you know, enriches me is knowing that my people that we have, right? I feel like I just keep going back to retention. The people that we have on board, that they are being heard, they have a safe space. Hey, they'll never have to do the same workout twice. And that we are truly here for them. They are not just a number. They are our people.
I love that. I love that. And one last question for you. One last question, my favorite question. You know, Isaac, if you could go back in time to when you first started the gym and give yourself that one piece of advice that you think you really needed to hear when you first started, what would that advice be for you?
Oh my goodness. Wow. And I know you don't know me that well yet, JJ, but to have me at a loss of words, whew. That's a tough question. So if I had to pick just one, don't take it personally. when people are going to have bad days, people are going to, like I said, if I've got to be ready for what that entails, right? So like I've opened myself up. I told members early on, even when I was in California, I was getting calls at texts, you know, our 5:15 a.m. class in Memphis, that's 3:15 in the morning in California. I'm still getting calls and texts from members that are having, you know, didn't like the music in class and that kind of stuff. So all that to say, be prepared for what it entails when you do want to have such a focus on client success, and don't take it personally. Don't let it stick with you and ruin your day, because sure enough, those same clients that I was probably ready to get on a plane and go, you know, get into fisticuffs with them, they are the ones that come to mind. They're friends now. And so I think just allowing them to be heard has gone so far. So all that to say, I think I did take things to heart. That's just how I am. I lead with my heart. While I did take things a little personally from before, I think after, right, hindsight is so clear, right? It's so 2020. Just saying that that's part of the process.
Yeah.
We're all human, and that is part of what I want to offer. So
that was a mic drop of an answer. Go ahead.
Be prepared. There we go.
That's it. I'm telling you. Well, as soon as you said don't take it personal in the silence, I was just gonna be like, all right, well, that's it. Like
period.
I didn't even want to elaborate on that, but I love it, man. Like, way to close it out. It's a good place to wrap things up on this episode. But before we sign out, Isaac, please shout out your Instagram, Facebook, website, anything.
Yes, you have. Of course. Y'all, please follow us, talk to us, come visit us, even if you're from out of town. We give discounted rates to F45ers actually from out of town. Come see us. We are at F45_training_Germantown. And on Facebook at F45 Training Germantown. 10 days for $10. No commitment. Come see what we're all about.
That's it. Look, Isaac, we absolutely appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast and look forward to seeing what you can accomplish down the road. Stick around for 1 second so I can let you know how you're going to get the podcast. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you want to come in, join us, talk about your fitness business, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you very, very soon. And as always, till next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I'm here with Andrew from Divine Fitness in Smithfield, North Carolina. What's up, Andrew? How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here, finally getting to be on the Gym Lords podcast. It is truly an honor. Thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time and giving back to the community. We appreciate it.
Of course.
All right. Awesome. So let's jump right into the details, wasting no time. What is it that made you want to start your own gym? How did you get started? What's the story there?
Okay. So starting back in 2020, the pandemic hit. And the neighborhood moms, including my own mom, wanted to lose weight, and they wanted to wanted me to put them in you know, group training and boot camp style workouts. So I said, okay, that's fine with me. Started training with them, working out, you know, 3 days a week, about 30 minute to 45 minute sessions. And I eventually helped my mom lose around 14 inches off of her waist.
Wow.
And just seeing her have that smile back again, having her get that boost of self-confidence back up, and just the overall energy she had coming back, and a whole bunch of positive things came out of that. And if I knew that if I can help her lose the weight and get that many inches off her waist, I knew that I could help more people as well.
Right.
And absolutely. so that's really what sparked my interest in personal training and fitness and opening up my own facility as well.
I love that. Giving back to your mom started it off. That's awesome.
That's right.
And yeah, to see her go through that transformation, I'm sure was huge. And I'm sure she's so thankful for that as well. So yes. That's awesome. I love that. That's what started it. Now, as far as your business model goes, how do you structure things within the gym? Are you doing group classes, semi-privates, one-on-ones? What does that all look like? Kind of walk us through the layout there.
So before I opened, I was doing at-home training. And that just entailed just me going to their house, working them out one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And I something been telling me, you know, just to try and include group training. So when I opened up, the one thing I want to include now is group training. So now I'm just trying to focus on getting more people involved in that, but I'm still primarily one-on-one training.
Got it. Okay. And how many clients or members are you currently serving?
So it's been ranging throughout the past couple of months. Most I've had at one time is about six, but now it's trickling down between the economy and opening up the new facility and not doing at-home training anymore. So it's gone down to just two clients at the moment, but this is just private one-on-one sessions.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And you just opened your gym, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What was the date of the actual opening?
July 2nd is when we opened.
Okay. All right. So it's July 5th now. So
that's right.
Starting fresh, just opened new facility. So currently serving two clients. What are your goals? Where would you like to see that membership over, say, the first 6 months to a year of being in the facility?
So right now it's just me. So the max I could probably handle between one-on-one and group training would probably be about 40 to 50 clients. Now, if I had a team with me, now I'd like to, you know, expand that even more. That's the ultimate goal, is just to be able to build the team and get more clients in there.
Got it. Okay. And how many square feet are you working with?
3,200.
Got it. Okay. So, I mean, typically, looking at like industry averages with 3,200 square feet, typically you can fit about 320 members in the facility, you know, especially if you're doing group classes.
Yeah.
Which is huge right now, especially.
Yes.
So yeah, definitely some room there to add to the facility being a mm-hmm. brand new facility. Now, as far as getting the word out there, marketing, advertising, what are you doing to let people know that you're there?
So big thing I was doing was networking with local businesses, going to them, inviting them to the grand opening, but also doing Facebook ads as well, just pushing and trying to get, I was doing lead capture, and I was doing just basic inviting people to the events itself. But a lot of it did fall down to being on a holiday weekend, and a lot of people were out of town that I was networking with. So I didn't have a lot of the businesses I was networking with come to the event, but I did have vendors and I did have food trucks as well. So, you know, it was a plus to network with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you are currently running Facebook ads as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, and what is your front end offer? What are you putting out there to make it attractive for people to actually come into the facility?
I was doing a 1 free week giveaway a couple weeks ago. Then I switched that over to a 21-day transformation. And then a couple weeks after that one, I did Divine Fitness is searching for 20 men looking to transform their body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how did that work for you? Did you get a lot of people either clicking or scheduling or filling out lead forms?
I had a lot of clicks on one of them. I had a lot of leads on another one. The one that worked the best was surprisingly the looking for 20 men. That was, yeah, that was surprisingly.
Yeah. Why was that surprising to you?
I expected maybe the 21-day transformation or a free week would get more. But just because there was nothing free about the searching for 20 men. Mm-hmm. And so that was surprising to me that a lot more people wanted to sign up for that one versus a free week.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, as far as front end offers go, 6 week transformation challenge is still the best converting offer on Facebook. Facebook is still the best converting platform, and the 6 week transformation challenge is still the best converting offer. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me that, you know, that was the ad as far as looking for 20 men, getting super specific about who it is that you're targeting. Yeah. And having a limited amount there, you know, there's scarcity, there's urgency there. So it typically that works very well. And with the transformation challenge and the ad that you were just talking about there with the 20 men, is that something that people are coming in and they're paying something on day one? How does that work? How do you structure things with those types of offers?
The goal was to get them in the door, train them maybe one or two sessions, probably for like a couple weeks. And then on the third week, since I already gave them all that value for the first 2 weeks, then I would introduce them to something more, which whether it was nutrition coaching or if I had them in groups, then switch them down to private one-on-one sessions to mm-hmm. get more results.
Got it. Okay. That's a lot of time working for free.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, it can be challenging to do that, especially as a right. new business. You know, you need mm-hmm. some working capital and trying to develop that and build that right out of the gate is challenging. Yeah. Now, if you were able to collect money on day one, would that be better for you, more beneficial for you? As
of course. Yeah.
I mean, because most gyms aren't profitable in acquisition. Usually it costs more to acquire a person and actually get them in the door than the gym owner is ever making, a lot of times over the lifetime value of the client. You know, a lot of clients are only sticking around for 3 to 6 months. That is industry average, you know, yeah. And if you're training them for a couple of weeks right off the bat for free, then they're rolling into some type of a membership, you know, after that, and then say they're only sticking around for 3 months, a lot of times you're breaking even or not even making the money back that it costs you to acquire that person. And that happens very often within the industry. But you know, if you can set yourself up and offer some of those challenges on the front end, the, you know, 21 day, the 6 week, and collect cash on day one, then at least you're paying for the cost of acquiring that client on day one. And then everything from there is profit, you know? So mm-hmm. that typically works really well. And then on the client side, you know, people who pay attention, right? So it's like, if they're right. investing on day one, they're putting their money there, chances are they're going to show up. They're going to stick to the program. They're going to get the results that they're looking for. And results are what sell. right? If
that's right.
When we're talking about keeping a client or acquiring a new one, results sell. They speak for themselves and they attract more people. So that tends to work really well as far as getting people bought in, making them stick to the programming. You know, we know it's challenging for people to make those changes and, you know, show up 3 times a week and stick right. to their new plan and make nutritional changes and adjustments. And, you know, when they're paying for it, when they're invested financially, they're far more likely to actually stick to the program and get the results that they're looking for. And it creates a win-win for the business and then also for the client, you know, and then you're not mm-hmm. working for free either. Nobody wants to work for free,
you're right.
you know? So, but that's very common, you know, very, very common across the industry. So now, as far as getting people in the doors, so say, you know, you've got some people that are clicking on the ads, maybe they're filling out a lead form, you're gathering their information in some way, shape, or form. As far as lead nurture goes and actually getting them to walk in the door, most companies, over 80% of companies report that they don't have any systems in place for lead nurture. So what is your process look like when somebody does click or does show interest, but doesn't necessarily come to you and say, hey, I'm ready to go? Do you have a system in place for that?
Yeah. So I put them through an email series and then I give them a call either the day of or the day after, depending on when they do it. It's like if they do it on a Friday, then I'll call them on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then I'll give them a call, ask them, couple questions, just to get them in the door so they can come in, set an appointment. And then, you know, the day before the appointment and the day of, sending them a text or calling them again, just to confirm the appointment, make sure they are coming in.
Got it. Okay. All right. So reaching out to them pretty quickly, you know, yes. and staying in touch with them. So say you don't get in touch with somebody the first time that you call them. Are you said you're putting them in an email campaign, right? So they're mm-hmm. getting multiple emails.
Right.
Are you calling them like a certain number of times? Are you reaching out to them periodically? How do you structure that?
I'll call them maybe either 2 days after mm-hmm. I called them first time and didn't get an answer. But if I don't get an answer those times, I'll still leave a voicemail. Mm-hmm. Ask them to call me back.
Got it. Do you ever double dial people?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That tends to work really well, you know, because people, it's like they automatically, if they see a number they don't recognize, it's like, I'm just not going to answer, you know, and they'll mm-hmm. leave a voicemail if it's important.
That's right.
But then if you call back again, they're like, oh, this must be important. So mm-hmm. a lot of times they pick up. So yeah, that tends to work well. I think a lot of gym owners are kind of like afraid to do that. They're afraid to reach out to people and actually get them in the doors a lot of the time. You know, it takes yeah. a lot of times it takes calling them sometimes 5 times, sometimes 7 times before you actually get somebody on the yeah. phone and get them scheduled, get them in the doors, you know, and a lot of times people give up before that even happens. So
right.
I'm glad to hear that you do have a system in place for nurture, because a lot of times yeah. that's missing, you know? So as far as goals go,
mm-hmm.
what is it that you're looking to do with the business, and where are you directing most of your attention right now within the business?
I would love to eventually become a franchise. But right now my main focus is really on marketing, just mm-hmm. getting people in the door. That's really the main focus right now.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. And what is your plan to increase the amount of people that are coming in the door?
Right now, trying to develop another campaign for the Facebook ad. Mm-hmm. But I am having a nutrition seminar August 12th. And so okay. I'm also pushing for that as well, trying to get more people in the door for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So developing another campaign on Facebook and then also mm-hmm. kind of creating some events within the community to draw some attention into right. the facility.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Now, as far as I always like to ask about bottlenecks or challenges within the business, obviously you've just started out here, just opened the doors. Mm-hmm. So it's more so fresh, you know, but are there any specific challenges that you're facing or any bottlenecks within the business specifically that you're kind of working through right now? There's always some type of kind of hiccup along the way or some type of challenge or something that's kind of keeping us up at night. So is there anything like that that you're currently working through within the business?
Marketing.
Yeah, that's really typically what it is.
What it all falls down to is just mm-hmm. getting attention to the business, getting those leads,
right?
Getting people in the door. That's really just the biggest issue. And finding what works in the community as well. That's another thing. Seeing what people are attracted to, what people click on.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So how many clients or members do you need to have for it to make sense for you, you know, for you to be able to either break even or start to make a profit?
If I have just one-on-one training clients, 10 or 12, mm-hmm. is about that's all I would need.
Yeah. Okay.
But with group training and stuff, just group training, maybe about 20 or 30.
Okay.
Coming in.
Yeah. Both numbers, very doable. And so once you get to that point or even maybe a little bit further beyond that, are you eventually looking to bring on more people to be able to help you out, more trainers?
Of course. Yeah. 'Cause it's just me right now. So
right.
Definitely that's a big goal, is to get more people involved and just building that team.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So now one thing I always love to ask about with every gym owner that I speak with is if you could provide a piece of advice to somebody who is considering doing their own thing, going their own way, opening their own facility, what would that be? What is one of the most important things that you've learned throughout your time in the industry and now being a gym owner, being in your actual facility and doing it?
Start slow. That's a big thing. And also do your research as well, because I know a lot of people just want to go out and just do it, but do your research, mm-hmm. save your money and start slow. That's the big things. And learn, educate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bedros Cooley and Alex Ramosi, all just the big successful gym owners.
Yes.
Educate.
Definitely. Yeah. There's always more to learn. Right. And I think that's something a lot of gym owners, a lot of business owners just in general, kind of get in their own way mm-hmm. often with that, you know, because it's like sometimes you get stuck on a specific idea of the way that things should be, or the way that you think things should be, or, you know, the services that you're offering, or, you know, anything within the business. And not being able to see outside of that and adapt and change if you need to, you know, is mm-hmm. is huge. And so many people just aren't willing to open their minds. You know, I think keeping an open mind is very important, because especially within this industry, it's constantly changing and evolving, and you've got to adapt, you know, and that's something that's been very obvious over the last couple of years or so. You know, it's like those who were willing to change and adapt and grow have survived. And a lot of times mm-hmm. those that didn't, not in all cases, obviously, but, you know, some didn't survive. A lot of gyms didn't survive over the last 2 years. So definitely important to keep an open mind, always be willing to learn. There's always more to learn, you know, and especially within a business, there's mm-hmm. always two sides to it. You know, a lot of times gym owners open gyms because they love fitness, they love training. That's where their most of their education is, you know, and then there's a huge gap a lot of the times, like on the business side of things, just mm-hmm. because, you know, you didn't go to school for business a lot of the time, you know, you didn't learn about the business side of things. you know, fitness and training, and that's where your focus is typically. Right. So sometimes it's challenging, especially in the beginning, but keeping an open mind, doing your research. Right. All right. Awesome. So as we start to wrap up here, where can the listeners find you on social media?
So my Instagram is divine_fitness_. And you can find me on TikTok at acdivine.02, if I'm not mistaken, or 22 is one of those. But you can find me on Facebook. It's Divine Fitness One. That's my Facebook page as well. And all my links are located under linktree.com/AndrewCC.
Perfect. I love Linktree. Yes, makes things so much easier.
Yes, it does.
And it's so easy to use too.
Mm-hmm. So it is.
Definitely. Sure. Yeah. If you don't have Linktree, definitely suggest using it. It makes things much easier.
You're missing out if you're not using it.
That's right. Quick little plug for Linktree there. All right. Awesome. So Andrew from Divine Fitness in Smithfield, North Carolina, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. It's been great having you on the show.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. To all the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, keep killing it out there. And we'll catch you on the flip side. Jim Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.